Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, January the 17th, 2017. I currently have 7:05 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's pledge will be given by one of our scouts, Scott Curtis, and then our invocation by Councilmember Crawley, if he's back. So, Scott, if you'd like to lead us in the pledge, please.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
God in peace.
Thank you, Scott. I've got something, Scott. Do you want to come forward?
I've got a little token of our appreciation. It's a little flashlight. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. So I'm going to ad lib. Mr. Crawley's not here. Mr. Zappala, would you lead us in invocation, please?
I can't speak up. Sorry.
Mr. Bailey will end.
My dear beloved Father in heaven, we give thee thanks at this time for this opportunity that we have to meet as a community and discuss the business of the city. And we ask you to please bless us with thy spirit that we can discuss and take care of the things that we need to in a civil manner and as friends and as neighbors. And these things I say and we ask and pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. First item on our agenda tonight is the approval of the meeting's agenda. So if someone would like to make a motion to accept the agenda as is or make any adjustments, I'll take that now.
I move that we approve the agenda as is.
Okay. I have a motion to accept the agenda as is. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Bailey seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to public comments. I did not see that anyone had signed up on the public comments list when I checked it. So someone come in since then and is wanting to take time during public comments. Public comments is when any resident or anyone come and speak on whatever is on their mind, give their thoughts to the council, and you have 3 minutes to do that. I do not see that anyone has signed up nor is raising their hand, so I'll close that part of our meeting and move on to a public hearing. We have one public hearing, which is amendments to the fiscal year 2017 budget, which starts July 1, 2016, ends July 30th, 2017. Is anyone that is here to speak on the public hearing? No hands are raised. I will close that part of the meeting and go on to our consent agenda. We have 1 minute meetings to approve. This is the minutes from the January 3rd, 2017 City Council meeting. So if someone would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda, I'll take that now.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Reese has seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to city reports and business. I'll start from my left, go with Mr. Goodwin, and then go down the row. Mr. Goodwin, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple notes on our recreation department. We started Junior Jazz. We have over 1,000 participants. It's going really well. It's thanks to Laurie Anderson and our staff for putting that together. They do a really good job every year on that. Ski Bus starts next Saturday. Right now we have 80 participants joining us this year. The plants and the soils class will begin starting again next month. It'll be held every third Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the basement. And Diane Farrer will be teaching these again. Classes start next month on the 15th if you can attend. We're also looking into some new programs for the recreation department, such as bowling, Lego camp, arts, painting classes, and coach pitch baseball. And Greg Gordon informed me today that he met with some of the Lone Peak volleyball coaches to start partnering with their club team to maybe do some camps and some youth programs with the Lone Peak volleyball. And then a couple items for the city council to take note of as far as meetings are concerned. Tomorrow night we have our Partners in Policing event here at the Community Event Center, where American Fork Police Department will be going over active shooting events. So it'll be very informative to the public. This Saturday, we have our budget retreat at the Highland Fire Station beginning at 8 a.m. Look forward to seeing you all there on a Saturday morning. And then Tuesday, January 31st at 6 p.m. in the Highland Fire Station, the Lone Peak Public Safety District will be presenting their Heart of the Matter matrix study regarding staffing in the future of Lone Peak Public Safety District. I think it'll be very informative, and I think that all council members should make it a point to attend that, as it will guide budget discussions in the coming years. The Board of Adjustment will be holding their meeting on February 8th at 6 p.m. to discuss the Cedar Hills Farmland LLC matter. And we've scheduled the Emergency Management Town Hall meeting for Tuesday, March 14th at 7 o'clock in the Vista Room. A gentleman named Mark Merritt will be speaking on earthquakes, preparedness, response, and sanitation during these types of events. We will be sending out these dates to the council so you're aware of them. Thanks.
Thank you. Those are a lot of important events that are coming up. And so hope is that everyone that is not here but maybe listening on the recording pays attention. Those are all important events. So, Mr. Bailey, you're up next.
I don't have anything to report.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zappala.
Nothing to report today.
Okay. I'm going to talk about public safety. We did have a board meeting recently, and the district has hired a resident of Highland who specializes in emergency preparedness to act as an advisor and as a helper to the cities if we were to have a national disaster like an earthquake, a winter storm, whatever it may be. And so he's going to be a help, I believe, and so he's going to start immediately and work on some of the things that we need there. I also made a proposal to the board to change a bylaw which would allow the cities to change appointments to the board. I think they will approve that. As the council knows, I like to rotate positions every year, council assignments, just because I think it makes a stronger council, a deeper council, more experienced, more knowledgeable if they hold different positions. And I know people have expressed an interest in serving on the Public Safety Board, and I'll talk about the assignment to that this year, which is contingent on the Safety Board approving my amendment, which we'll do at our next meeting. So that is it. I'll move on to Mrs. Reese.
The Family Festival Committee has a meeting next week, and we hope to have some final dates soon.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Crawley.
Nothing to report today.
Okay. Thank you very much. Move on to scheduled items. Our first is an action item. And this is on a resolution adopting fiscal year 2017 budget amendments. Mr. Lowe, are you going to present on this, please?
Okay, we have a couple of funds that are affected tonight, general fund and the capital projects fund. The first adjustment is for potential legal services that may be needed this spring, and that would be funded through a transfer in from the capital projects fund of $200,000. And the second item is to recognize the new passport services that have taken place at the city, and also the revenue generated there, some of the staffing, and this on the budget adjustment, it recognizes $20,000 in revenue and $10,000 in expenses for staffing that would be used for both passports and some public works type of filing. And in the capital projects fund, like I mentioned earlier, we've had 4 out of the 7 Cottonwood lots sell in the current fiscal year and raised just over $400,000. We had 1 that sold in the previous fiscal year, so there's 2 Cottonwood lots left, as far as I know. And we'd use some of that land proceeds to fund the litigation. Are there any questions?
So I just one quick question. It shows an increase, or it shows transferring in from capital projects of $200,000, and then later on it says Cottonwood lots $400,000, and the general fund increase $200,000. So is that a total of $400,000 for legal, or you're just showing where it's coming from?
I'm showing where it's coming from, but we could down the road if I don't think we'd spend more than $200,000 in 1 month, so I, at least that's my hope. So that's the start. There's another $200,000 in.
So right now the adjustment's just for the $200,000. Yep. Okay.
Any other questions from the council? If not, I will take, this is an action item. There is a suggested motion from staff. If someone would like to make a motion on this action item, I'll take that.
I move that we adopt resolution 1-17-2017A, a resolution adopting the amended 2016-2017 fiscal year budget for the city of Sierra Hills, Utah.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cipolla seconded it. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Starting from my left, Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on now to item number 9, which is also an action item. This is a resolution making assignments to members of the City Council, staff, and residents to certain boards, committees, and entities. So, Mr. Goodwin, why don't you proceed?
Yeah. Mayor and Council, we passed out a paper and put it in front of your mics before the meeting started that show the various assignments that the mayor's decided to make for council members and, in this case, for staff as well. You can take a look at that. Some of the notable changes will be that we're recommending the appointment of Dax Fossum to be on the North Point Solid Waste District Board, and I believe the other one we should probably discuss is Jenny, Councilmember Reese, as a liaison working with staff on communication issues throughout the city. So you can look at those appointments, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
It seems like last time there was two or three assignments for several city council members, so it seems like we just have a lot less assignments. Which assignments dropped off from last time, or what were there any?
Yeah, well, one of them is finance, and the way that we're going to handle that is that instead of having a permanent member to the finance committee, mm-hmm. I'm going to invite up to two council members to each finance committee meeting to attend. So if there's something that in particular you have an interest in, just let us know so that we know that you want to come to this particular council meeting, and we'll make sure that there's not more than two council members that are showing up. I think that gives the council, many more council members, the opportunity to participate in the finance committee, which is probably one of the most important things we do.
Sounds good. And then I would assume that anytime there is a finance meeting, you'll let us all know so that and what it's regarding.
Absolutely.
So that we can choose if we want to come.
We will.
Okay.
I think as a side note to that comment, these are the boards that require a council member or a staff member from the city to be at present. The Finance Committee is not a recognized board in the code. It's just something that the city does as part of its budgeting process. So Mayor Gigi's correct in that we can have a shuffling.
So
we did, as part of best practices, pass a resolution that said that mayor and two council members.
Yeah, so that's why we're going to have a shuffling, right. Allowing them to be there.
There is a requirement that council people are there.
This is a best practice in our auditing firm, not established in city code. We're trying to still follow that.
Okay.
Okay.
So do we need to have council members assigned to the general plan committee, the golf finance committee, and the arts committee?
And the general plan committee is not in existence anymore right now, so that's idle.
So do we need to dissolve it?
They weren't formally dissolved, but they're not meeting.
Okay.
So if that comes up again, that'll be something that we discuss, but I don't see that in the future.
And so the same thing with the golf course committee, that's idle until we need to reconstitute it if we ever need to again.
And then what about arts committee?
And so arts committee with the last with the loss of care tax is I will act as a liaison on that, but it is unsure what direction the Arts Committee is going to go at this point.
Okay.
I would like to appropriate money in our budget for them that would replace the care tax loss.
And we certainly can have that discussion. So I've been told that there's probably enough money to go through FY 17 that we're in right now. But it's up to the residents to decide whether they want to pass a care tax this fall if it's on the ballot again. So obviously the Arts Committee is something that is near and dear to my heart. I helped create it, and I hope it continues. So we'll see where it goes on that. So, any more thoughts, comments? If not, I'll take a motion on this action item as well. Then there is a suggested motion.
I make a motion to approve resolution number, is it OMB? 1-17-2017B, a resolution assigning members of the City Council, staff, and residents of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, to certain boards, committees, and entities.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Reese seconds it. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote, starting with Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Zappala?
Aye.
Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number 10, which is also an action item. This is a resolution supporting the Utah State Developmental Center and the Murdoch Connector Road. This has been an issue that's been going on for a long time. I am really hopeful that it happens this year. Mr. Goodwin, I think you're going to present on this.
Yeah, this project, as you're well aware, is part of the state development project that's going in south of Lone Peak, but north of the Murdoch Canal. This proposed connector road would give Cedar Hills residents another east-west option. As you're aware, getting east and west through 4800 to Alpine Highway can be very difficult sometimes. What this project does is it opens up that lane from Harvey and punches it through to to Alpine Highway to the west. This project, it was slated to be built, and it's kind of been shelved at the state level. So what this is a resolution voicing the city's support for this road, as we see it as part of our transportation master plan, as a need for the city in order to move traffic from Canyon Road over to Alpine Highway. Are there any questions that we can answer at this time?
I believe all the other cities around us have already passed this, right?
Yeah. That's my understanding.
Okay. Mike Kennedy filled us in on a lot of the issues around this, and it seemed like we were all pretty much on board for the most part wanting it to happen.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned this the last time that we were together, is that the board, all of us were under the impression that a little over a year ago, when the board approved a road coming from Highland over to Cedar Hills, needed ratification by the state legislature. I've been told recently by a member of the board that was not correct, that the board does have the authority to approve the road coming over from Highland, but the legislature is needed in order to approve a sale of the property. So I am optimistic that the board will approve and make the road, the county will construct the road coming through from Highland this year. Now, there's always hurdles that could show up, but relatively positive that's going to happen. So, if anybody would like to make a motion on this, I will take it.
I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
I motion that we adopt resolution 1-17-2017C, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, supporting the Utah State Developmental Center and the Murdoch Connector Road.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Bailey seconds it. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Crawley?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Motion has three people. Mr. Zappala, are you saying aye? Mr. Zappala is saying aye. That is a majority and unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to our next and last item, which is also an action item. This is a resolution indicating the intent of the City of Cedar Hills to adjust the common boundary with Pleasant Grove City. This is the Dennis Thane property. Mr. Goodwin, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I would reference you to the map that we've provided in your packet, because this lot is a little bit tricky.
11B.
Sorry, say
it's 11B. 11 on the packet.
Okay. So the lot in question is in Cedar Hills, and there's a number of difficulties with developing a lot in Cedar Hills as it sits with the current code. Those involve delivering utilities, the public safety response, and the proposed stem of the flag lot. So I've met with Dennis Thain a number of times over the years to discuss the possibility of transferring this lot into Pleasant Grove. He also owns a number of lots there to the south and to the southeast that are in Pleasant Grove that at one time he was considering bringing them into Cedar Hills. Now, with Pleasant Grove completing their sewer line in 4000 North there, you can see on that green line on your map, they placed in a sewer line there. And all of those homes in that on 4000 North there in Pleasant Grove are now connecting to that sewer line rather than
the green line. Maybe you could help
it's right
out.
Here.
It's green line. It's kind
oh,
of
okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's there.
It's further down.
I wasn't scrolled down enough. There you go.
Okay. So all these residents in Pleasant Grove are now connecting to the sewer line that Pleasant Grove just put in. And I believe Pleasant Grove started a special improvement district in order to help finance that, and then the city is paying for a larger portion of that. The Thain property is a little corner, and it's outlined in red, half of it and half of it in black. The black line going through the page is the municipal boundary between Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove. It's a mess, to say the least. But the proposed lot, if Mr. Thain were to develop this piece in Cedar Hills, there's, like I said, delivering utilities to that lot, they would have to go through approximately 400 feet of Pleasant Grove land, which he owns, but it would have to go through all this Pleasant Grove land in order to get to Cedar Hills. There's not a way for us to service this lot from Cedar Hills. Additionally, public safety would, he would have to develop this lot with the intent that there would have to be some sort of hammerhead turn so that a fire truck could get in or out, thereby giving him emergency response access. And then finally, the proposed, our code limits flag lots to being, you know, a flag lot is the stem and then the flag lot itself. The stem on a flag lot in Cedar Hills code can be no longer than 250 feet. In order for him to develop that, there would have to be a variance granted in order for him to put a house on that. He wants to put single family and possibly even multiple family housing. So with all that being said, we've met with Pleasant Grove as well. This is one of those lots where I'm inclined to say, let's let this one go. I know that this has been a sticky issue between Pleasant Grove and Cedar Hills in the past. I know recently Pleasant Grove has held up some of the boundary adjustments with regards to their residents on 4000 West who had sewer septic tanks failing. There's enough issues with this lot that Pleasant Grove is willing to deal with them, and I just don't know that I want to set a precedent for having such a long stem on a flag lot. That does give me a lot of heartburn.
I don't have any desire to play the games that Pleasant Grove has, but I'm just curious, do they not have the same access for public safety that we do? Do they not need public safety access?
They would.
Here's my opposition to this, is if you look along Canyon Road here, Pleasant Grove owns all that property. This is just north of the Murdoch Canal. Well, not just north, but relatively north of the Murdoch Canal. If you also look at the map that we have, if you look down to the lower left corner, that little island right there is Cedar Hills as well. So we're all gerrymandered in here as well. It's like a jigsaw puzzle that's unfinished. And now we want to just take another piece out of our unfinished jigsaw puzzle and put it somewhere else versus somewhere else.
So are you saying the lower left where it says Land and Circle, North Land and Circle?
Yeah.
Where you're looking at?
That is Cedar Hills.
That's Cedar Hills. Yeah. So we're just taking another piece and taking it from us and giving it to them or taking it from them. The other question is, and like Jenny mentioned, is public safety. This piece of property here is a lot closer to our own fire station and our own ambulance than it is to Pleasant Grove. Even if we had to come down to 4,000 up and up to that flag lot, we're still 5-10 minutes closer to that than that. The next thing is the gentleman who wants this, he owns the property just south of that. Are you guys familiar with that?
That's in Pleasant Grove.
I believe I mentioned that.
That borders the, you know, let's annex, instead of him annexing into Pleasant Grove, let's annex him into Cedar Hills, but they don't want to let him annex out of Pleasant Grove. Yet, there again, they still want, this is Pleasant Grove, us to maintain the road out there. You know, we've already had those discussions. I am completely against this. I don't see this as being a buildable lot for Pleasant Grove or Cedar Hills right now. It doesn't butt up to a street for the most part. It's a terrible flag lot, and like Jenny says, they're going to have the same fire code problems trying to get a fire engine down into that, just like we are. Personally, I don't think it's buildable as it stands right now. I'm against letting any property out of Cedar Hills into Pleasant Grove right now.
Pleasant Grove would, I spoke with Ken Young there, I went down and met with him, and they would have to grant a variance in order for this to be developed. This is a very problematic lot to do.
Yeah, like I say, I am against taking any jigsaw pieces. I mean, we have Wedgwood that's right here. If there's a fire or an ambulance call on Wedgwood that's less than 600 feet from our fire station, it's Pleasant Grove that's going to come up and take care of that. Mm-hmm. Heart attacks, structure fires, it's going to be 10, 15 minutes before they get there. I don't buy the public safety response into that. If Pleasant Grove wants to help work on our boundary lines, then they need to help us. And if this homeowner or this property owner wants to help work on it, then my opinion is then they need to help work on it. We already have too much of Pleasant Grove gerrymandered throughout our city, and I'm not willing to give up another piece of it.
I guess my counter to that, I saw how difficult it was for Pleasant Grove residents who wanted access to our sewer system, and we could provide it, and Pleasant Grove made it really difficult for them to go with whatever made more sense for the property owner. And I'm looking at it from the perspective of the property owner. If they can develop this and get what they need easier through Pleasant Grove, and Cedar Hills is going to have all these struggles, and we're going to have variances that we're probably not going to approve anyway on the flag lot,
yeah,
why would we make it a challenge for a property owner who's just trying to develop his property? I understand that the border, that's not going to get fixed with this particular issue, but I don't see us fighting for something that we're not going to allow them to develop anyway.
So I'm curious as to what's legally defendable. And so does staff have a position if we were to deny this, is that a legally defendable position?
I would defer to our attorney on that, because I've voiced my concern with the lot, that it is a problematic lot to develop, whether it's in Pleasant Grove or Cedar Hills.
So Mr. Wright, I know you're somewhat familiar with this here. Do you have any thoughts that you'd like to add?
I think
Let's move the mic closer to you.
I think the property owner is largely at death mercy. I mean, especially in this instance, the cost of appealing and protesting it, given the likely economic benefit, that just that cost ratio benefit, unless I'm really missing something, would probably be prohibitive and thus make him at the mercy of both cities. You could mount legal challenges and do some things, but they're very costly. So on something this small, it would be hard to imagine. So they're very much at the mercy of the two cities.
Okay. Mr. Crawley, you have any thoughts?
My initial thought was that we should show kind of the first sign that we're willing to boundary adjust when it makes sense, and it kind of makes the boundary a little bit better, and hope that they would reciprocate so we could get the boundary a little bit better, a little bit more making sense. But I'm not sure how easy it would be, because the residents have opinions too about whether they want to move from one boundary to another. My other thought was,
Rob, it's not, Pleasant Grove isn't asking for this. Pleasant Grove isn't going to be coming in and fighting for this. It's the property owner. If Pleasant Grove was, then maybe they would come to the board and we could say, hey, let's boundary adjust this right here and here,
it's
and here.
Just
but it's just one owner for one little half acre lot.
Uh-huh. And then my other thought is, why it looks like we just have a little section etched out that Cedar Hills, and the rest around that section is Pleasant Grove, and we're just talking about one little section. If we're going to boundary adjust that small little corner, why not just make it a straight line all the way up? Would that?
He doesn't own all that property.
Right, but why not consider doing that at the same time?
This little piece right here, the gray, is Pleasant Grove. Right, so it's already this weird shape.
Oh, yeah, Rob, it goes back to, you have to go through Cedar Hills to get to that. We have more property that's tied into that. It's not just an island in the middle of Cedar or Pleasant Grove.
You can't zone islands. It's something we're not zoning an island.
Right. It's not just an island in Pleasant Grove. It's just there again. It's like we've taken the jigsaw puzzle and taking these pieces out and put them over here, and there's Cedar Hills. And
well, it seems like if we're going to boundary just that little piece, why not just make it a straight boundary on Canyon Road at that section anyway, just to make it so it's cleaner going forward and have that set of precedent that we're going to
clean up the lines.
Clean up the whole lines, and that's the first start of it.
So here's my argument.
But we can't.
So if we were doing that, then I'd be for it. But if it's just a small little section and we're not going to go all the way to Canyon Road in that section itself, then I'm not as much for it. Although it would be, it'd be nice if we could work with Pleasant Grove and just clean up the boundaries all at once. I don't know.
I think that's something that we've tried to do over and over again with them. So if your intent is to grant something in hope of getting something in return, I'm not sure that's the strategy I would go with. I would go more along the lines of what is defendable, what is the goal, what is your vision for what you want Cedar Hills to look like in the future. So it's always been stated that we wanted a clean boundary down to the canal. So if that's still a stated goal of the city, then the council ought to consider that.
I think that's just a note. With Pleasant Grove putting in that sewer line on 4000 North, the likelihood of Murdoch Canal being the natural boundary became a lot less.
Well, that could be argued. We could purchase that from them possibly somewhere down the road. That could be argued. The other thing is that piece of property that wants to be de-annexed or put into, if you look just to the right or to the east of it, the home here in Cedar Hills, that, now, he or she or whoever, they don't own it, but that piece of property is more useful to that home than to any other homes on this property. I mean, putting a 400-foot flag lot and a home there, I don't see Pleasant Grove doing it. I mean, I sit on the DRC and Highland and Alpine and here, nobody's allowing these type of constructions right now. So
Pleasant Grove seemed very willing to work with him on variance.
I'm sure they did when they said, you're going to give us more land. But until they give the actual go-ahead, you know.
So question.
I just dislike putting property owners at the mercy of two cities who can't get along, especially on a lot that we're pretty much in agreement. We're not going to allow them to develop with those variances. So why hold this property owner hostage and say, you have to stay here, but we're not going to let you do what you want to do with your land? If Pleasant Grove can make it happen for them, I don't see a reason to hold
that. The only way that this gets developed in Cedar Hills is if it's not a flag lot and it's a common drive. What that is, it's like Landon Court there in the bottom left of the map is a common drive. The city doesn't own Landon Court Street. On a common drive, you can have five parcels attached to one private drive, and it's not considered a flag lot. In this case, he could have done it, and this is what we were discussing with him a year and a half ago. If he boundary adjusted his other properties into Cedar Hills, he could have developed this as a common drive project, thereby, you know, getting away from the flag lot problem. Mm-hmm. But with Pleasant Grove putting in that sewer line, he's now part of that special improvement district where he's now tied to them in agreement to pay for that sewer, and he's tied to their sewer. Those lots aren't coming into Cedar Hills. Thereby, that lot is not going to be developed by a common drive. It has to be developed by a flag lot. And also, that flag lot stem would have to be boundary adjusted into Pleasant Grove. So we would run into the same problem of this lot doesn't have frontage. All of our lots require frontage. The stem would have to front onto a Cedar Hills road or a road, and currently this property does not have that.
The only option would be Canyon Road, but you'd have to go through someone else's property.
Somebody else's property. Yeah. So he would have to have, so in order for this to be developed in Cedar Hills, Pleasant Grove would have to allow a stem to be boundary adjusted into Cedar Hills, which could create an island based on how it's done there. You can see that it's very tricky there. Like I said, this is a very problematic situation.
I disagree with that because, first of all, the portions that are in Cedar Hills, let's say a developer came in and bought that, they could put in one cul-de-sac there and make three or four or five lots
there. Were you saying off of 4000 North?
No, just take the Cedar Hills portion. And what a developer came in and bought all those. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 properties. He could come in or she could come in and they could make a cul-de-sac in there and make a nice little development in there. Mm-hmm. Number two is the gentleman that we're talking about owns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 homes that are adjacent to this property. He's the one that decided how these homes or how these properties are all divided and whatnot. He knew what he was getting into when he purchased this piece of property or when he decided to construct these other homes. If he put in an island himself, that's not Cedar Hills' issue.
There's some truth to that.
Chandler?
Yeah.
It's my recollection that we have boundary adjusted a number of homes into Cedar Hills.
Correct.
Recent in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And these are also on 4000 West.
Yeah. Different road,
different
not on
road,
this road.
Not this road. Yeah. But Pleasant Grove didn't put up a fuss or
they
say
did.
We're never, did they?
They did. There's some issues with dragging their feet. They made some, well, I saw as some arbitrary requirements as far as recording their plat.
But they let it go through.
They eventually let it go through. There was some feet dragging, but they never said no. Because they knew that they were going to put in this sewer line on 4000 North. Now, 4000 North runs a little further west, and it comes to an intersection there. There's a four-way stop there, and then it runs north, and that's 4000 North. Mm-hmm. Pleasant Grove has no intention of putting a sewer line up 4000 North. Now, the Pleasant Grove residents...
West.
As opposed to west. They already put the one in on the 4000 North, they put the sewer line in. I had that backwards. 4000 West, they have no intention of putting a sewer line in. So these residents that are on septic systems there that they are failing, the Utah County is not going to approve a new septic system if you're within 300 feet of current sewer line. So they had to connect to our sewer line. As part of that agreement, we wanted them to boundary adjust into Cedar Hills. We've been burned by non-residents attaching to our sewer lines in the past. So as part of the agreement, we wanted them in our city. Pleasant Grove did drag their feet a little bit, but ultimately they did allow the boundary adjustment.
So if I understand staff's position correctly, this is one lot you're recommending that we let go for many reasons, and one of which is that it is highly unlikely, with the sewer line being put in 4000 West, is that what it's called?
4000 West.
4000 West, that these lots would boundary just into Cedar Hills, and we can't help this homeowner, particularly with it being a flag lot. So Pleasant Grove is going to have to deal with him however they choose. So is that the nexus of
it
the staff's
recommendation? What you can't
recommendation?
See on this map, there's a box that says Thane Parcel. Underneath that Thane Parcel, there is another home underneath that box. So I understand your idea of getting a cul-de-sac off of Canyon Road there, but it's far more likely that the cul-de-sac comes off of 4230 North there on the very top right, top left of the... But that's still
exactly.
So there is potential for development here in another angle, but then again, this is, I don't know how to do that.
I get my argument.
Above? No, he does not.
Hold on. Let's not speak at the same time. Mr. Crowley and then Mr. Bailey.
I'm just wondering who owns the parcel directly.
My understanding is it's the gentleman who owns the home along Canyon Road there to the east.
Mr. Bailey, did you have a comment?
No, I think I've said my piece.
Okay, so I know this is a tough issue, and the scouts were hoping for an issue where there was contrasting opinions. You have it. Okay, so if you if someone feels so inclined, I am ready to take a motion.
I move that we approve Resolution 1-17-2017. D, a resolution indicating the intent of the City of Cedar Hills to adjust the common boundary with Pleasant Grove City.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I will second.
Mr. Cipolla seconds it. Any further discussion? Okay, let's start from my left. Mr. Bailey.
No.
Mr. Cipolla.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crowley.
Nay.
We have a tie.
You get to vote, Mayor.
I know I get to vote.
It's the first time?
It's the first time ever.
Well, the first time in a while. The vote is aye. So, motion passes.
And, can we explain that to the scouts why you got to vote?
What's that?
Can we explain to the scouts why you got to vote?
I'm happy to. So, scouts, typically the mayor does not get a vote. And so the only time that the mayor gets to vote is if there is a council member that is not here. That's the situation tonight, which creates a potential tie, which is what we just had. Two council members voted in favor, two voted against, which means someone has to break the tie. In that situation, the mayor gets to break the tie, which I just did. So you guys showed up on a really good night. Okay. I will take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn so I can go home and rest.
Second. Okay.
Motion has been made, seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is unanimous. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.